This morning, if you have your Bible, turn with me to Esther. We're going to begin reading in Esther chapter 3. There are two the stories out of the 66 books in the Bible. Two of these books are named for women. One of them name is Ruth, and I preached on Ruth a few weeks ago on a Sunday night. And the other's name is Esther, and I want to talk about Esther today. And so really what this is a story of three people, three main characters. That is Esther, Haman, and Mordecai, three main characters in the story. Be surprised, Josh, we know this story. I've read this story dozens of times, and you have, many of you. But I asked somebody this week, I asked somebody who I really thought would know. I said, what you preaching on Sunday, Eddie? And I said, preaching on Haman, the story of Haman. And I was surprised to find out that person didn't know who Haman was. So they'll do a little checkup. This is really a history lesson and a Bible lesson today. But the story of Haman, we want to read it together in Esther chapter 3. And I won't ask you to read. It's a long reading today. So I'll read it and you read along with me silently. Chapter 3 and verse 1. After these events, King Xerxes honored Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agite, elevating him and giving him a seat of honor higher than that of all the other nobles. And all the royal officials at the king's gate knelt down and paid honor to Haman, for the king had commanded this concerning him. But Mordecai would not kneel down or pay him honor. Then the royal officials at the king's gate asked Mordecai, "Why do you disobey the king's command?" And day after day they spoke to him, but he refused to comply. Therefore they told Haman, "See about it, see whether or not Mordecai's behavior would be tolerated." For he had told them he was a Jew. When Haman saw that Mordecai would not kneel down and pay him honor, he was enraged. Yet having learned who Mordecai's people were, he scorned the idea of killing only Mordecai. Instead, Haman looked for a way to destroy all of Mordecai's people, the Jews, throughout the whole kingdom of Xerxes. In the 12th year of King Xerxes, in the first month, the month of Nisan, they cast the pur, that is, the lot, in the presence of Haman to select a day and a month. And the lot fell on the 12th month of the month of Adar. Then Haman said to King Xerxes, "There's a certain people dispersed and scattered among the peoples in all the provinces of your kingdom whose customs are different from those of all our other people and who do not obey the king's laws. It is not in the king's best interest to tolerate them. If it pleases the king, let a decree be issued to destroy them, and I will put 10,000 talents of silver into the royal treasury for the men who carry out this business." So the king took his signet ring from his finger and gave it to Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agite, and the enemy of the Jews. "Keep the money," the king said to Haman, "and do with the people as you please." Now I want to tell you today, this is a story of great conflict. It's a conflict between two men, a man named Haman and a man named Mordecai. Haman was a wicked man. He was an evil man. The Bible says he was prime minister joy of that country for King Xerxes. He's a prime minister, but he's full of hatred. And he represents the conflict in your life. And that is Satan. And I believe the devil is on the trail of God's people. When I was a young man, young preacher, Brother Richard, we had a group called the Leuven Brothers. You probably remember, you maybe a year or two older than I am, you remember them, the Leuven Brothers. They used to sing a song, Ted, and it's "Satan is real." And I believe Satan is on the trail of God's people. And I believe really the conflict in Esther's life and in Mordecai's life is representative, Jim, of the conflict in our lives. And some people say, "Well, you know, if I don't know about that," but I tell you this, if you don't have conflict in your life, then it may be that you've been running in the same direction the devil has. But you're going to have some conflict. You're going to have some trouble if you live godly in Christ. That's part of the paycheck. But Mordecai was a good man, a Jewish man. And Haman wanted to destroy him. The devil wanted to destroy him because God, Mike, had plans for Haman, for Mordecai. You know what that was? The Bible says he was a Jew. And what would God do through the Jewish people? What would he do through them? He would send his only begotten son, the Lord Jesus. And so there was a conflict between these two men, between Haman and Mordecai. And I believe there's a conflict in your life. And when you get saved, when you give your life to Christ, when you turn some things around, Steve, I guarantee it's going to be, you're going to have some conflict. I heard a story about an old boy had a dog, and the dog was bad to fight, and he'd get into fights with other dogs, Jess, and said the other dogs would all beat him up. And his friend to him said, "He's not much of a dog. Your dog's not much of a fighter, is he?" He said, "Yeah, he's a good fighter, but he's just a bad judge of dogs, other dogs." And some of us, I think, we have underestimated the power of the enemy. You have a very real enemy. We all do. I know this is 2012. I know all that. Listen, Celia is trying to bring me into the 21st century. I got a brand new iPad this week. What do you think about that? Brand new iPad. I know it's the 20th century, but I want to tell you, Satan is real. And he's working with power. So I want to say the story of Esther, Mordecai, and Haman is a story of conflict in your life and mine. I'm going to make three or four points about Haman. Let me introduce Haman to you. The history of Haman. It's what I call the title of this message. The history of Haman. Hey, what kind of fellow was he? Well, the Bible says he is a fellow that loved to be praised. He loved to be praised. He is a prime minister. He wanted everybody to recognize that. And the Bible says wherever he went, they bowed down to him, Jerry. They bowed down. And they said, "Good morning, Mr. Haman. Good morning, Mr. Haman." Wherever he go, "Good morning, Mr. Haman." He liked everybody to bow down to him. Except this one little Jew. And Mordecai would not bow down. He's a good representative of the people of God that will not bow down to this world. He's a good representative. I'll make 4 points real quick about Haman. Number one, hateful Haman. Number two is happy Haman. Number three, humiliated Haman. And number four is the hanging of Haman. Here they are. Because really, what it is, the book of Esther. And by the way, somebody at the first service, they put this outline up here for me. I don't know whether they got it, but it's the story of Esther. Somebody thinks I need a little help. But I'm going to give you my version, my quick version of, and I appreciate that, I really do. I do need a lot of help. I don't know it all, but I'm going to give you my version real quick. 4 points real quick. Hateful Haman. What kind of a guy was he? He wanted everybody to bow down. And we should know by that. The Bible says this. The Bible says over in Proverbs that it says 7 things God hates. And guess what the first thing is? Proud look is right. A proud look. God hates that. Bible says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. We should have known, Maxine, that this guy Haman was going to be in trouble because he's full of it, man. He's full of pride and dignity. I was talking to Celia about somebody last week. He said, "What about so-and-so?" And I said, "You know, that's the problem, Brother Henry, with a lot of people. They're not going to walk this aisle and get sloshed in water like these boys did this morning. They're not going to do that. They never put their pride. They never walked in front of a church, in front of people and say, 'I'm a guilty sinner. I'm guilty before God.' They never do that. They never put their pride away. And I tell you, if people won't do that, then I don't know that people ought to be saved. If you can't put your pride, if you can't lay that aside, then I don't know if you really ought to be saved. Jesus hung naked on a cross for you and for me. He hung naked. And anybody won't walk an aisle for him or be sloshed in that water? I tell you, I feel sorry for you, Matt, don't you? Anybody that won't put their pride aside. Pride sends a lot of people to hell. Pride, Dr. Joe, will send more people to hell from Enterprise, Alabama, than anything else. Their pride. Amen. Haman. Hateful Haman. He hated him. He went to the king, Brother Richie. He said, "Got a deal for you." He said, "Let me destroy these people. There's some people in your kingdom that they against your kingdom," although they really weren't, but he said, "They're against you, king. And if you let me exterminate them, let me just declare an open season on the Jews, we'll get rid of it. I'll give you money. I'll pay for the privilege." And the king said, "All right, you do it. You do it." And that's exactly what the Bible, he said, open season. Open the season up. This man hated him so much. And by the way, I think in the Haman, we see a picture in Isaiah 14. There's a picture here of of Satan, the fall of Satan. It says, Isaiah 14:12, "How have you fallen from heaven, O morning star, O son of the dawn? You've been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You have said in your heart, I will ascend to heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly." And he said, verse 14, "I will make myself like the Most High." That's what Satan said one time, Isaiah 14. Full of pride. Old hateful Haman. He said he wanted to get rid of him. Okay, here's number two. Happy Haman. King said, all right. They sent out a decree. They sent out a decree across the land that the Jews would be exterminated. And the Bible says over in verse chapter 4 and verse 3, here's what the Jewish people did. The Bible says in chapter 4, 3, it said, "In every province to which the edict and order of the king came, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting and weeping and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes." You know what God's people did when the edict went out, CJ, that they said they're going to be killed, the Jews be killed? The Bible says that those people, it said they fell down on the ground, they fell prostrate, and they prayed, they went sackcloth and ashes, they're weeping and crying, and they said, "God, if you don't help us, God, if you don't help us, we don't even have a chance." I talked to Julie Spears. Many of you know Neil and Julie. I know Bob. Where you at, Bob? And I know Julie works over here with Bob. And Bob, she said this to me again yesterday. She said, "If God don't come through, we don't have any hope but God. He don't have any hope but God." And these people, when that edict went out and said they declared open season on the Jews, they said, "God, you are our only hope." And they got on their face before God and began to pray. God's people began to pray. And guess what happened from that moment? The tide began to turn, because God moved in the life of a little girl. Her name was Esther. She was actually the queen. But the king didn't know it, because her uncle Mordecai said, "That's our secret. Don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody, Tom. Don't tell anybody. That's our secret. Don't tell anybody you're a Jew." She didn't know. He said, "Don't tell you what your nationality is." But he picked her to be his queen. And can you imagine the king signing a decree to kill his own wife? He didn't know it. And she went to Uncle Mordecai and she said, "What am I going to do?" And she found out about the edict. "So what am I going to do?" He said, you do the only thing you can do. There's nothing you can do. You've got to go and appeal to the king." And she said, "But I can't go. He hadn't summoned me. He hadn't called me." And there was a rule in that day that if you went before the king unannounced or uninvited, if he was not pleased with you, he could kill you right on the spot. But I tell you what she did. And two great things in the book of Esther. One thing she said when he said, "You got to speak up to save your own life and save the life of your people." And she said this, and he said this. He said this to her. He said, "God," this is the greatest thing, Jack, greatest part of Esther. He said, "God has put you in the kingdom for a time such as this." How many of y'all believe God put you in the kingdom for a time such as this? I believe he put Dr. Joe right there for a time such as every one of you in this church today. Tinker, Peggy, Gail, Harry, every one of you. Sonny, a time for a time such as this. Then she said, the second most important thing to me, Craig, is this. She said, when that young Jewish girl, she said this. She said, "Joy, if I perish, I perish." She said, "If it kills me, I just kill me. If I perish, I perish. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to do it." And it's a great story. She goes, you know the rest of the story. She goes, and I don't know if she knocked on the door or what, or she just peeped in there or what. But anyway, when she opens the door, guess what he does? He smiles at her. And then he holds out that royal scepter. And she goes in and she says, "Sweetheart, I want to ask you a favor." And then she said, he said to her, "What I say to see you?" He said, "Anything you want." Is that right? He said, "Anything you want." She said, "Sweetheart, I have a favor to ask you." He said, "Would you?" She said, "I want to give a dinner tomorrow night. Will you come to dinner?" He said, "Oh, sure." And she said, "And we want to invite Mr. Haman, the prime minister." And so I said, I got something I want to ask you. But she don't tell him that night. So anyway, the next night, that's now where I said four points. Number one was what? Come on now. Hateful Haman. Hateful guy. Wanted to get. Number two is what? Happy Haman, because he got his way. He got the edict signed. Going to kill all the Jews. Here's number three. Number three is humiliated Haman. Humiliated Haman. Third point is, here's what happened. On that night, they went to supper. And the three of them, by the way, that's pretty big, isn't it? I got an invitation this week. Bobby, I got it from a four-star general. Said, will you, I'm going to Nashville in a few weeks. Said, will you come to an honor? Will you come to a party one night to honor a retired three-star, a friend of mine? But really, this invitation, though, Ted, would be like Ted Walls getting an invitation to go to the White House. And you the only one. And old Mr. Haman, don't you know that puffed him up? He said, the king giving a party, king and the queen, I'm the only guest. I'm the only one going. The only one they invited. Well, anyway, he gets there that night. They have a big party. And he asked, the king asked Esther, said, now what is it, dear, that you wanted? She said, been a good party tonight. Let's don't mess up this party. Let's have another tomorrow night. We're going to invite Mr. Haman back. That night, though, something happens to him. It don't happen to me a lot, but insomnia. Y'all know what insomnia is? Bible says he couldn't sleep that night, and so the king calls for, what does he do? They don't have Tylenol PMs in those days. What does he do? He calls for his chronicler, Bo, his reader. He said, he reads. That's a good way to go to sleep. He said, let him come read direct court records of the day. And they're reading the history book and find out that a guy by the name of Mordecai saved his life from two thugs. He didn't even know about it. He didn't even know about it. And he asked the question, old Ruby. He said, what's been done for Mordecai? Man saved my. He said, not one thing. Well, the next morning he calls in his prime minister and he asked him this question. He said, what should be done? I don't have time to read all this. He said, what should be done to the man the king wants to honor? Well, who you think old Mr. Haman thinks that is? Man, can you imagine that? He said, man, that guy loves me. What is it that I really want? Now, what could, you know, if I had a wish list, just a blank check. He's a king. He asked me what I wanted. And the king said, what should be done for the man that the king would honor? And he tells him, he said, well, one thing, you ought to let him ride the king's horse. Give him your best stallion. And another thing, you ought to put a king's robe on him. And another thing, then let somebody, whoever lead that horse, let somebody lead the horse through the town and say, hail, 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 whoever that person, hail. Well, he said, all right. And the king said, then the last shoe falls. He said, all right. Let it be done to Mordecai the Jew. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how his countenance fell? Can you imagine how Haman must have felt? And he had to put old Mordecai, had to get saddle a horse, had to put the robe on him. And Mr. Haman was that one that had to lead the horse through the streets and tell everybody, hail Mordecai, hail Mordecai. Can you imagine? Last point is this, the hanging of Haman. Here's number four, hanging of Haman. Here's what happened. Esther said, come back for a party again tomorrow night. And knowing what he knew, now all he knew was, he still didn't know that Esther was Jewish. All he knew is he'd been humiliated and he'd had to lead Mr. Mordecai through the streets that day. But they were having a party that night, Mary, and he was in a trap. The invitation had already gone out. He'd already consented to go. No way out of it. He was trapped. He went to the party that night. And I want to read you what happened in chapter 7 and the first six verses. Now I'll be through. And here's what happened. One thing I didn't tell you was, at the end of verse, nothing ever satisfied Mordecai. 5:14 says, his wife Zeresh and all his friends said, let him have a gallows built 75 feet high and ask the king in the morning to have Mordecai hanged on it. Then go the king to dinner, and that was all done. They built a gallows before he went to dinner that night, 75 feet high. He said, I built a gallows. I'm going to hang him on it tomorrow. Guess what happened? Tables turned, didn't it? He gets the party that night, the second party. And after the king couldn't sleep, after he had him to walk Haman through the streets, Mordecai through, here's what it says, 7:1-6, and I'm through. So the king and Haman went to dine with Queen Esther. And as they were drinking wine on that second day, the king asked, Queen Esther, what is your petition? It will be given to you what you request, even up to half the kingdom, it will be granted. Then Queen Esther answered, if I have found favor with you, O king, and if it pleases your majesty, grant me my life. Grant me my life. This is my petition. And spare my people. This is my request. For I and my people have been sold for destruction and slaughter and annihilation. If we'd been merely sold as slaves, male and female slaves, I'd have kept quiet, because no such distress would justify disturbing the king. King Xerxes asked Queen Esther, who is he? And where is the man who has dared to do such a thing? And Esther said, the adversary and the enemy is this vile Haman. Then Haman was terrified for the king and queen. I won't go through all that. Last verse in the chapter, the king said to him, verse 9, then Harbona, one of the eunuchs, attended the king, said, a gallows 75 feet high stands by Haman's house. He made it for Mordecai, who spoke up to help the king. The king said, hang him on it. So they hang Haman on the gallows he prepared for Mordecai. Then the king's fury was subsided. Let me say this. You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow in life. I don't think it's but two classes of people in this world. They are Haman's people and Mordecai's people. You're either a Haman person or you're a Mordecai person. I want to say it pays to trust Jesus. It pays every day. It pays every step of the way. It pays to trust Jesus. A lot of people say, let me tell you something. Haman died. He was condemned. And he died. Nobody to take his place. He was condemned and had nobody to take his place. You were condemned, but Christ took your place. I was condemned, but Christ took my place. A lot of people say, well, I'm not a Haman. I never did anything like Haman. Well, the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Jesus said this, those that don't gather with me, just two teams. Those that don't gather with me are scattered abroad. He that's not with me is against me. So I'd ask you this morning, there are conflicts in life, but there are two teams, two ways of life. And I'd ask you to come the Lord's way. I'd ask you this morning to come by faith. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus. Take your stand public for Him. And say, God, forgive my sin. Come and live in my heart. Live in my life. Give me a peace that passes understanding.